the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Now, those of you who are sitting there thinking, I saw no donuts, bear with us. We love donuts, don't we? Donuts are the best things. We do. One look at me and you can tell that I'm a man who loves a donut. And they're so sweet, they're so stodgy, there's so much variety in them. I just went on Krispy Kreme's website and look at all of the amazing varieties of donuts that you can find. This is just a snapshot. There were some other quite weird ones when I went looking for like limited edition ones that had been there and stuff. Whatever you want from a donut, you could get. It's this amazing, variety-filled, exciting joy package. So hopefully, this morning we will be excited about donuts, because secret, we're going to have donuts out in the concourse later as well. But brace yourself, because we've got to get to the end of the service. It's a behaviour award. No. But alongside celebrating donuts, what we really want to learn today, and the thing that we're going to remember, is donuts. Forget to tell people about Jesus. Whenever we see a donut, it's going to be emblazoned in our brains. Do not forget to tell people about Jesus. There's some controversy about the spelling of that, but the message is true. When we see a donut, do not forget to tell people about Jesus. Rachel and I had a lot of fun coming up with different things that could link a donut to Jesus. We're not going to go too silly today, don't worry. What we're actually going to do is talk about what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians and how donuts can sort of help us understand that. Here's my favourite thing about a donut, okay? You know a donut is a donut because it's obviously a donut, okay? This is a donut. There is no denying that this is a donut. Point of reference, this is a croissant. It's obviously different. This is a cronut. Not a donut, a cronut. It's too crumbly. You would never buy them in a batch. They're a very self-indulgent thing. Has no jam. It's not a donut. It's a cronut. A donut is a donut because it's obviously a donut. It has so much intrinsic donutness to it that it cannot be denied. Now, here's the thing, right? Our reading today is talking about how we as Christians live our lives. It's talking how we as Christians relate to other people. And a Christian is a Christian in every single way that they live their lives, in theory. That's the aim. That's the goal. We should be so obviously Christian everywhere we are. Just as you look at a donut and go, that's a donut, there's no denying it. You should look at a Christian's life and go, that's a Christian, there's no denying it. And it's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's not just a Friday night thing. Big shout out to the Friday Night Youth Ministry. Come on, guys. But it's when you're on the frisbee field. It's when you're in the traffic queue. If you're in a team meeting. If you're on Twitter and the algorithm throws a tweet at you, it just makes you go, ooh. If you have to write an email to someone and you have to think, oh, this is an email and it's professional, but I want it. So all of these places, we need to still be visible and obvious as a Christian. And it's not because that makes us wonderful, glorious people who are so shiny and lovely and holy and everyone's very impressed by us. What Paul says, it's actually just because we care about other people. It's actually really hard to live a life where you don't interact with people. I think God made that intentionally. God put other people in the way of life. And the call of a Christian isn't just don't do naughty things, don't misbehave. It's how do you relate to those people? How do you love those people? Paul talks about how he goes these great efforts and great strains to meet the church and to do everything that he can to love them and show them God's word and who Jesus is and change their lives. And this is the key thing of being a Christian. It's not about being moral and shiny and holy entirely. It is about sharing and loving with other people. It is about going the extra mile. And our lives should be so obviously Christian in every aspect based on how we interact with the people who are in those places, yeah? I think a lot of the times when we think about things that we do wrong or places we fall short, we think about the behaviour that we do that probably mostly affects us or the people that are very close to us. But I think sometimes a useful thing is to think, where am I missing the other people that I'm interacting with? Where am I missing the people that God's putting in front of me that I could be remembering to tell about Jesus? Because when we see a donut, we do not forget to tell people about Jesus. Now, the best bit of a donut, and the reason that a cronut fails on so many levels, is the middle. We're going to talk about the middle in a little bit later on. But, yes, hence verse. That should have clicked. This is a Krispy Kreme classic donut. This is an abomination. This is not a donut. A ring donut. I'm sorry, right? If you're sitting there going, I quite like a ring donut. No. No. Have a word with yourself. There is nothing satisfying about a ring donut when you could have a real donut, when you could have an actual donut with a middle. Because a ring donut is missing the best bit. It's got a giant hole in it that causes it to lack something. It's just there, but it's not doing anything. It's not being exciting. It's like, oh, great, I've got a ring donut. No one's picking that one first, are they? The reason that Paul tells us that we need to go and love people, the reason that we need to go and relate to these people and show God's love to them is because they're missing their middle. They've got something else at the centre of who they are. And even if it is a thing, it's as good as a big empty hole. It's as good as a vacuum. It's as good as disappointment of what could be. Because as a Christian, you've got something else at the centre of who you are. You've got something else in the middle. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But it's really important that we don't forget... Oh, sorry, that was the wrong one. It's really important that we don't forget to not tell people about Jesus because they are missing this thing in the middle. Jesus says it himself in John 15. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It is about having Jesus at the centre of who you are, at the centre of your life. That is how we love people. But also, that is what people are missing. Like, that's so, like, that's really serious. Like, people are walking around being ring donuts. Like, guys, we're missing the middle bit. We're missing the most important. We're missing the centre that drives us. We're missing the relationship with Jesus, the thing that gives us joy and grace and hope, the thing that gives us forgiveness and a lack of shame and a celebration about victory. There are people that we know who we love and they're missing this. And Paul's message is, go and love them. Go and try, go and be a Christian in front of them. Ultimately, do not forget to tell people about Jesus. So when we think about donuts, this is what we're thinking so far. A donut is a donut because it's always a donut. A Christian is a Christian because they're always a Christian. No matter where you put them, they are looking to love people the way that Jesus loved themselves and that they can love others. People without Jesus are missing this big, important thing. And the bonkers thing is, if this is the most important part of life, God's asked us to do the job, that's cool, that's crazy. We're going to talk about the how of that, and we're going to talk about the middle of donuts. But first, we're going to hear a bit of a story from my friend Jake, who's going to come up and tell us a bit about his story and, about being a ring donut and not being a ring donut. Jake, do you want to come up? Cool. So, bear with me while I get the questions that you've already looked at. Jay,
hello. Yeah.
Welcome.
Jay's
a member of this church. Jay, you're now a follower of Jesus. We're happy to say that.
Yes.
Great. Yeah, okay. Definitely. So it was a good test. We passed. What would you say before you knew Jesus? What would you say was in the middle of your life? What was the central thing?
So I wouldn't say there was just one thing. Maybe a couple of different things, so at different times. So I was putting myself in the middle. I was quite happy having fun doing what I wanted to do. And looking back, I would make decisions based on what I wanted. Sometimes even at the expense of my own health or like my relationships. I also think money is a really common one. And I see many people putting this at the center. Including myself, and in my own experience, I know it is a cliche, but having money really doesn't make you happy, and I did learn that through my own experience. I definitely think I was wanting something more out of life. There was a lack of kind of purpose, meaning, joy. I now know that Jesus provides all of these things, but I was kind of oblivious to it at the time, and yeah, didn't really know how he could help me.
Cool, thank you. So in the process of like you're just living a life as Jay, being happy to some extent, how do you then meet Jesus? What happens to change that?
Yeah, so in 2018, my mum invited me to an Alpha course. That was at the Rediscover Church. I was a little reluctant to go, and I even turned down a few invites before actually accepting that one. And during a time of prayer on the course, my first encounter with Jesus came through like a feeling of joy. I felt him kind of fill me up with the Holy Spirit, and yeah, it was really emotional, and I even cried as I realized the truth. After this course, sort of a few years went by before I really put him at the center. I do think it took me some time to come round to like a new way of life, but there was still more to learn, and yeah, great things to come.
Awesome. So I think the best thing about being a Christian is that when you do choose to follow Jesus and you put him at the center, stuff happens, like things change. What difference has it made having Jesus at the center of your life for you?
Yeah, massive difference. Yeah, big difference. So in that sort of initial period where he kind of wasn't at the center, like I said before, that did take a really long time. But he still, like, my faith was, if it was a graph, it was sort of down here when I first met him. It was still increasing, but just not as a big sort of trajectory. But then as I was learning more by reading the Bible, attending church more often, really started letting Jesus closer to the center. And this had a really powerful effect on my life. I felt a real freedom to kind of break every chain, which felt amazing. And I was rebuilding the relationships and my own health. Having Jesus at the center, I think, allows you to walk the path that he's set out before you, which is a good path. I mean, for me personally, I'm so blessed he's brought me and Gemma together, you know, in a marriage. That's a really big change. I'm, you know, so grateful for that. In summary, my relationship with Jesus means that I always have a solid rock and a foundation in the middle of every decision I make. By speaking to Jesus in my own thoughts and prayers, I feel his presence through the Spirit, and I've now found that joy that I was kind of looking for before.
Awesome, thank you. Jay's a member of this church. You can choose to quiz him more later on over donuts and coffee. But in the meantime, how can we pray for you? Like, is there anything going on currently that we could be praying for you as a church?
Yeah, so I'm really looking to get stuck into kind of serving here at Belmont. Really enjoyed my first year here, but yeah, just a bit of encouragement to kind of really go for it and yeah, kind of get stuck in would be great.
Awesome. I'm going to pray for you, Jay, and then we'll carry on with our service. Father God, thank you, Jay. Thank you for the man that he is and the relationship that he has with you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for meeting him when he cried out to you. And Lord, we just ask for his future, that you continue to be that solid base, but also that guiding light on the path that he's walking forward. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Cool. So, thank you. Thank you, Jay. So the cool thing about Jay's story there, well, there's many cool things, but the thing to notice, I hope you noticed, someone told him about Jesus, and he said no, and they kept telling him about Jesus, and eventually he said yes. Please take that into your brains. Someone has to tell someone about Jesus, and even if they say no, you can keep telling them about Jesus. Okay, we're going to have a little break where you can talk amongst yourselves, not just about anything. There are some questions up here. Oh, they are a little bit small, but hopefully you can read them. So I will read through them for you, though, so that you can have about 5-6 minutes on these. Can you think of a time when someone from church or your family has shown you God's love, where they told you about Jesus? What did they do and how did it make you feel? Can you think of someone that you see a lot? How could you share your life and God's love with them specifically? What's God doing in your life at the moment? Have you learned or experienced anything new about him? What words could you use to describe that to someone else? Maybe thinking about what language you might use to tell people about Jesus. Are there any words of God, any of God's words from the Bible that you think might be encouraging for a friend or a family member here at the moment? That might be a sit and a think and a pray one for later as well. You don't have to get through all of those. There's many questions. Maybe pick one and mull over that. Just have sort of 5-6 minutes now to chew it over. Off you go. Cool. So I'm genuinely thrown by a third of the church, like, hearing name. That's, like, it's completely like, what? Where even am I? It's just a posh bagel. It's not even a real thing. Like, it doesn't matter. Oh, no. Okay. So, ignore that you like a ring donut, because the most important bit is the middle, and this all doesn't make sense if it's... Oh, dear. Right, yeah. So, the middle of a donut is the absolute best thing, because it's where the variety comes from. It's because, like, it's the type of donut that it is. Even the evils of a ring donut is defined by its absence of a middle. Ah, there you go. Pull that back. And it is, I think, the thing that makes it most joyful. It's the thing that you know that you're invested in. Aaron just told me, and Aaron, am I okay to share this? Is this okay? He would be fine with a chocolate donut. He would be fine with a custard donut. He wouldn't fancy a jam donut. But I'm okay. I respect that, because he knows the type that he's getting based on what's on the inside. It is the inside, what it was in the middle and the center, that drives the donut, that creates the pull, the lure, the attraction, the whole of its essence is found at its core. Christians must be jam-filled or custard or chocolate-filled to be Christians. We have to know what is at the centre of where we are. In verse 13, from what we read in 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about it being the word of God that he's sharing with people, that the word of God transforms people, that knowing God, like, the word of God is the Bible, but it's more than the Bible, because it's hearing from God through the Bible. It's actually having that relationship. A book on a shelf does nothing, but an open Bible that you're reading and talking to God in is the word of God. That's the thing. That's that relational knowledge, that foundational thing, the truth that we have at our center. That's what we're meant to be looking for. That's what we're meant to be concentrating on and growing and investing in. And it is worked out in the Holy Spirit working through our lives. But I think the mistake we make then is going, my life is about being the best Christian I can be and being the most Jesus-like person I can possibly be from a moral, behavioural, even societal-like point of view. What Paul says, actually, right at the end, if you look at the end of that passage in verse 19 and 20, well, first of all, in verse 6, he says, it's not about being a big deal. He says, we didn't come so that you'll think we're great. We came to tell you about Jesus. So first of all, if we're thinking we're good Christians when our lives shine out and we appear to be like fully complete human beings, no, missed the point. Equally, it says in verse 19 and 20, we're meant to be sharing this with someone else. And that's the pinnacle. That's the peak of what it is to be a Christian. That's actually the best bit. Donuts come in packs for a reason. Only a monster bites one donut for themselves. It's meant to be a shared thing. And not just because it's a nice thing to do, but Paul says, literally, this is our joy, that we got to share the word with you and that brought you closer to knowing who Jesus is. There's an amazing... one of my favourite chapters in the Bible is John chapter 17, and Jesus prays these big prayers throughout it. The main reason I like it is because he actually prays for us, which I just think is cool that Jesus prays for future Christians. That's awesome. But he also prays for his disciples, and he says this. He says, Holy Father, this is talking about the disciples who've been with him, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. And I just think it's really cool that Jesus is like, do you know one of the best things that I did was tell these guys about who you are? This is Jesus who fixed all of creation forever. But one of the best things I did was tell these 12 guys about who you are. And I loved them. And I pursued them. And I put up with them when they were annoying. And I answered their questions. And I kept pointing them back to you. And that's awesome. Thank you, God. That's our joy as Christians. That's the jamminess. It's the Holy Spirit helping us to tell other people about Jesus. And this isn't an adult thing. This is an everyone thing. This is if you know who God is this much, tell people this much. If you know who God is this much, tell them all of this. But don't forget to tell people about Jesus. This is the game. This is the life. This is what we're called to do. The lives that we live that honour God, that make us the most whole, complete Christians that we could possibly be, are lives where we notice the people around us and we love them enough to tell them about a life that could be richer and a God who loves them. That's the best thing. And it's not a duty, it's a joy. It's not a burden, it's a delight, it's a present, it's a gift. And I'm very privileged that I work for a church and I get to do this for my job. But a lot of my job isn't telling people about Jesus. It's thinking up silly games and stuff like that. The coolest bits of my job are when you sit down with someone and they go, oh, this is what it means, isn't it? And you're like, yeah, this is amazing. And I'm on like a high for like 3 weeks after that. I can only encourage you, genuinely, be bold, be strong. The Lord your God is with you. Go and tell people about Jesus. Tell them the difference he's made in your life and the difference he can make in theirs. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move to Rachel. Father God, thank you for the gift that is knowing you and being able to share that. Help us be bold, help us be clear, and help us listen to you for who we should be sharing with next. Amen.